How we're talking about something that no one teaches men, how to regulate your emotions, lead with your family with influence instead of authority, and break the generational cycles that silently damage relationships. If you're a father or you plan to be, this is the conversation you should ch that's going to help you change the way your children experience life with you. Now, today, I am so excited because we have Josh Davis here today. And I just, really, want to just dive right into it. You are just an amazing individual. You're a book author and you have so much knowledge. I was wondering, Josh, why are there so many men struggling to feel confident and influential as fathers right now?
I think there are a few things at play. One is that it's there socially, there's a lot of limitations on how men are kind of allowed, if you will, to interact with each other. There's like, we're not supposed to talk to each other about our feelings. We're not supposed to talk to each other about the things that are hard. Whenever I get a group of guys together and we're talking about what's going on as dads, what we want to do with our kids, what frustrates us. It's just like, oh my God, it is so nice to have somebody to talk to. Right. So, because it was just, we don't, and everybody knows that there have been articles and how like men don't tend to have that many friends. It's hard to make, it's like that women, they're continuing to connect in these ways that form friendships. But for men, it's like there's only these limited ways that you can interact. And even when you do, and it has to be fun, you have to be cool and you have to, right? And so maybe you get together and have coffee, but like, that's nice. You get a taste of it. But I think that that makes it harder. But I also think that there are tools that moms and dads don't ever learn. Just because, this stuff is, we're at the early stages of getting this all into the world, right? I mean, what I'm going to be sharing today is stuff that comes from the world of psychotherapy, and began 50 years ago. But 50 years is a short time, actually, to make it to the point where a lot of people know it and can use it day to day. So there are many, many norms also that have changed since a lot of us grew up. So guys growing up, the role models we saw were not typically about how to regulate your emotions or teach someone how to connect with another person while also being strong and also being a leader. And it's just like these are things that just where would you learn it, right? But these are the skills you need as a dad, these are the skills you need as, I mean, or as a mom.
Do you think stress overload plays a role in, the confidence level of how men are, react as fathers and so forth?
I think that what happens is, the stress overload, that what it does is it just makes you in a situation where you're more likely to get triggered by the things that would trigger you anyway. So yeah, of course it does. That said, you can be in a highly stressed environment. You don't have to somehow remove the stressors from your life to be able to show up how you want to show up, either for yourself or for the people in your family.
Now, what actually happens in the brain when a dad loses it?
Well, that does depend on the specific thing that they're losing. Now, there's, many people probably will have heard the kind of a generic, well, a fight or flight reaction happens, and then you don't have as much self-regulation, and that does happen. Where you'll see that, when there that fight or flight reaction is stronger, the amygdala, for example, is more active, which is a part of the brain that controls that fight or flight reaction. And you'll see a flip-flop, like a decrease in the amount of prefrontal activity. Prefrontal activity is important for, it's not where executive functions happen necessarily, but it's important for it, right? So, you will see that, but I think a more useful, actually, that's helpful for getting to people to believe, well, yes, something actually does happen in my brain that makes it harder when I'm like activated like that, when I lose it. But to really get to a place where it's more useful beyond just, okay, take a few breaths and calm down, which is useful, but is to recognize that when we do get triggered, what's happening is there's a whole system of beliefs and thoughts and feelings, and it has to mean something to me. So, for
Yeah.
example, if I'm trying to get my son out the door in the morning and he's just kind of sitting around, and I've told him 6 times, okay, 30 minutes till we go, 20 minutes till we go, but he's still just sitting around, right? Which, everyone knows can happen, to the best of us, right?
Right.
It's no shame in that, no fault, right? He's a good kid, but that can't happen. And then all of a sudden, I snap, right? It's just like, what's going on? Well, if you start to unpack it, it's because I had this belief that I have to be, at a certain place by a certain time for something. And I, you know, but that wasn't enough on its own. I also have to have this sense that I'm being disrespected. And when I also add to it this belief that, this says something about me as a capable person, not even as a dad, just as a capable person, that's when it's too much, right? But I
Yeah.
don't have, like, those are all things that are happening in my mind. This is the meaning I'm making out of it based on the expectations I come in with, the beliefs I have about it, how it affects my identity, what I think needs to happen, right?
Yes.
And if you look at any one of those and break them down from a calmer point of view, well, you'd say, like, actually, you could make a shift. And there's so
Right.
many more components. And one of the things I will get into NLP in a second, neuro-linguistic programming, I'm sure, but that's where a lot of this learning comes from. That one of the things that is really core to that is whatever behavior it is, when you lose your cool, whatever behavior it is, there is a world in which that behavior makes sense. And there are a tremendous set of tools that most people don't know about that anyone can learn to use that help you understand that world where it makes sense. And once you understand that world, it becomes much easier to make a change.
Now, you talked about NLP. Can you explain to us what NLP is for the listeners who are unfamiliar with it?
If I can just take a couple minutes to do some history, I think that explains it best. So
Yes.
we go back to the 1970s, and there are all these new forms of psychotherapy. And I'm not going to be asking you all to do psychotherapy. You don't have to have a background in it to be able to take some of these tools and apply them day to day. That's the work I and my co-author have been doing for the last couple of years, is trying to make it very accessible day to day for anyone, in our book. So the difference that makes the difference, if you want to go and have a look for it. But so if we go back 50 years, all these new forms of psychotherapy, that in the world of psychotherapy, many people are saying, like, what's going on? Like, these people are getting results so much more regularly, so much more quickly, in a more lasting way. It's not like all the time and it's just like suddenly you snap your fingers, but much more quickly, much more reliably, much more lasting than older forms of psychotherapy. And these pioneers, at the time, there's no research yet. You've got hypnotherapy, family therapy, cognitive therapy, gestalt therapy, all these things that we all know about now, and they've all been researched now, and there's all this, right? But at the time, if you wanted to learn it, you had to just try to, like, let me fly out to Arizona and sit and watch Milton Erickson, because he also didn't have the internet, right? And just watch him do his work and try to copy it. And actually, my parents were in the field of family therapy, and they wanted to do that, but they couldn't because they had two little kids, right? So what was also happening is there's this, many people wanted to understand what's happening. Can we codify it? Can we teach it? So one of those people was this linguistics professor, and then he and a partner of his, they said, let's approach this from the lens of linguistics. If we look at these language patterns, we're going to look for the form, not the content. Can
Right.
we use what we've learned from the world of linguistics, like how to translate, patterns into how thoughts work? And so they go around looking at looking for the signal in all this noise, finding what are the things that these therapists are paying attention to in language and in nonverbal communication, and how are they using language and nonverbal communication? And then they tested it a lot themselves, and they worked out, and they got endorsements from the people they're studying, and they started using it. And so in the world of psychotherapy, this started to take off, right? And then eventually, years later, when coaching became a thing, it started to take off. And other people have recognized many uses of it, marketing and sales and so forth. You've probably heard of Tony Robbins, right? And he says, NLP is the most powerful stuff I know. You know, he's written that, and he that it is what he is using, right? And it doesn't mean you need to be like all rah-rah like Tony Robbins, and that's certainly one way of doing it, but it's, you know, I think that's him authentically. But the tools, I think many people say, yeah, what he's doing is quite powerful, right? So these tools, they can be applied in many different contexts. 50 years on, because I have a background in neuroscience and psychology, and was a psychology professor at Barnard, which is part of Columbia University. You know, I'm looking at it, and I know NLP, and I've been teaching NLP for a long time. And I was like, well, now if you look at any of the tools of NLP, there is research to support it. It's just been done in a different name. And so we put that together too. We showed that in the book, the research, as well as how do you make it easy to use, how do you apply it, just with some simple reflection questions. And so this is stuff that comes from people who are doing change work all day, every day, for every kind of change you could imagine. You know, it's health, it's relationships, it's professional change work, changing yourself, helping others to change, right? And so this time tested now for 50 years, there's research to support it. It's just sort of like this incredible toolkit, and people don't know about it. And so me being a dad, and I love being a dad, even the stuff I don't love, and there's stuff I don't love, but I like, it's just like, dads need to know about this. Like, there's so many things we can do to just so quickly be able to harmonize the household and like show up how you want to be and choose your emotional state, right? And it's just, there's so much that we can do that's just sort of like many people just simply don't know.
I love that. I love that. Now, what's a concrete 30-second reset that dads can use before they react?
Oh, okay. Great. So a concrete 30-second reset. This will work for a lot of people. Nothing's going to work 100% of the time for everyone. And so it's useful to have multiple things. But for many people, most of the time, this one, when you say to yourself, and you can practice this ahead of time, that'll make it easier too. There is a world in which their behavior makes sense. And you let yourself enter that world for a little bit. And I can give some examples of that. So, you know, it's like it can be something as simple as like, you can't believe that the socks are still there on the floor, right? Day after day after day after day, right? They keep being there on the floor and not being, it's just like, and it aggravates you. And you could lose it and have an unpleasant time, right? And not, instead of engaging the way you want to and enjoying that relationship. But if you let yourself get into that world and say, okay, what is the world in which it makes sense? It's like, oh, okay, you know, they're just not really seeing this as like an important thing. Like, this is like, yeah, you know what? I'm being good. Why aren't you recognizing the other things? And why can't, like, why does that have to mean so much? You know, it's just like, I just forgot. Like, you know, it's like, you know, like there, if when you get into that world, suddenly you engage with them differently. And another one that was, you know, for me, one of my kids was like, thinking about like, had an assignment, right? And had to pick, right? This, am I going to study Saturn? Am I going to study Neptune? And but then time's going on, right? And it's just like, no decision, no decision. And we're starting to be like, come on, you got to make a decision. It's not going to matter, right? You're going to have a good day, right? And then we hear, you know, well, I was asking the teacher again today what I should do. And we're thinking, oh, the teacher's probably also thinking the same thing we are. Come on, just like, make it. But then I took a moment. I'm like, wait a second. Come on, Josh, you know this. There's a world in which it makes sense. Go into that world. So I go into that world and I'm realizing, I mean, pretty quickly, I'm just like, wow. And by the way, you can do it wrong and then just pivot and do it right. Like, you don't have to be perfect. I had been saying things that were annoying my kid. And then I did this like within 10 minutes later, right? And so I go into this world. I'm like, how does it make sense? I'm just like, wait a second. This is a big decision. This is going to be like a month in a kid's life. A month where it's my project. I haven't had a project before. This is my project, and I'm going to learn about this. Like, this is, I have to choose which of these planets I'm going to learn about. Like, that is actually a big deal at that age. How do I make that decision? And then it's like, oh, he's trying to make this decision by, it's like trying to figure out the future before he even, before it's happened. Like, what is it going to feel like to have done that? What will I have learned? What will other people think? It's like, wow, of course you're stuck. Like, how can you can't make a decision when you're trying to know what the future is ahead of time. And then I was able to teach him, like, well, you know what? You're trying to make a decision by knowing the future, but that's not, you can't do that. You have to make a decision by what you know now and being interested in discovering, right? So we end up having this great lesson about decisions. We end up having this, like, I learn what's going on too, which is like Saturn's really interesting, but everyone's doing Saturn and I like being different. So there's a values conflict. Of course, you're stuck. There's a values conflict. I want to be different and I want to do what's interesting. How do you make a decision like that? And it's just like, I'm so in it with him at this moment. Mind you, this is a matter of minutes, right? I'm so in it with him. I'm like, I'm getting it. We're talking about it, right? And I talk about, my experiences in life when I've made a decision based on what I want versus based on something that I value, but it doesn't feel right, right? And then, like, sure enough, completely unexpected, not any way that he ever talks to me. Daddy, I decided Saturn. Just like, what? But so that's one thing you can do at any time. If you can remember that, and the more you practice it, the more you're going to enjoy doing it. That's one. There's so many you can do in just 30 seconds. That's one thing that you can do.
I love that. I love that. Do you want to give us another 30-second one?
Yeah, sure. So this one is meet them where they are before trying to get them to follow.
I like that.
Okay. How many times have you been like upset and somebody says, calm down? You got to calm down. Do you ever calm? What's the reaction you have, right? You
Angry.
do, you get angry. You do not calm down. They did not meet you where you were, right? They completely just denied your reality.
Yes.
And when you do that, somebody doesn't trust you. They're like, well, if you don't understand my, even if it's a person you know well, who you trust, if they just denied your reality, well, then obviously I can't trust anything you're going to say because you don't get it. If you don't get where I am, I can't trust your advice. It's as simple as that. It's like people are smart enough to know that. Like everyone gets that intuitively, and it's smart. Like you sh that should be how it is. Like why you go to a doctor and they don't listen to you and tell you what you should do? Well, you're not gonna. But if the doctor's like, "Oh, really? So it's been hurting for how long? Really?" And over there, and there's this additional thing. And you said you tried the supplements, and then what happened? Okay, right? You're gonna if that doctor suggests something, you're much more likely to actually do it, right? So when they're coming to you, meet them where they are. And it can be energetically, it can be with your body. Like the person needs to calm down and it's just like that is really messed up. Like that, like I would not be calm right now if I were you. I get it, right? Or if you don't think they deserve to be all upset, you don't have to say that it's true, but it's just like there's no like I'm with you. Like, it's just like just join the energy somehow, right? When you're like acknowledged, like, yes, you are upset right now. I get it. I hear that you're upset. You're upset with me. And I like, you're upset with me. You're upset with me. You're upset with me. You're upset with me. Right. And then I'm starting to calm down a little bit. And then you've heard, I get it. I get your reality, not just the words, but I get the energy. Right. And then I'm ready to calm down with you a little bit and I can take you somewhere else. It's like the kids are fighting. It's just like, you feel like that's totally unfair. Right. Like that's not usually where we start, but that is where they are. It's like, yeah, right? Am I right? Am I right? That feels totally unfair. Yes. Oh, okay. And now they're able to turn and listen to you. So meet them where they are before you try to do anything. Remember that. Do that in 30 seconds. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's a great tool. That is a great tool.
It works
Now,
for grown-ups too.
oh, I'm sure it does. I'm sure it does.
Yeah.
Thinking about my husband as you're talking. So, what does it mean to earn the right to influence?
Right. So people only change themselves. You can't manipulate someone. You can't make someone do something. Like if you do manage to get somebody to agree to do something they don't want to do, they're going to realize it pretty soon. And then you've lost trust and they're going to hate you and it's going to be very difficult, right? So I mean, and that then it's just like maybe a moment of confusion. Like that's like so, most of the time though, that's not even on the table. It's not even part of it. You can't make someone think something, you can't make someone do something. Only they can. And so, but if you have an interest in having them think differently, even if it's for their benefit, it's just like somebody has told you, I want to work out more, and you're trying to influence them to work out more, right? That's a pretty wholesome thing to do, right? They've even said they want to do it, right? I think we can all think of plenty of cases like that, right? But then how do you actually get them to do it? Well, to earn that right to influence, a lot of it comes from understanding where they are currently, their mental model, like their idea about, well, I can't because it has to be before work or after work, and I'll be too tired if I wake up. Well, okay, so does it have to be? Like, why, what would happen if it wasn't before work? You can start to explore that kind of stuff with them, but you do have to acknowledge that that's their reality. Even if you're like, that's not true, you can take a break and you can do it in between. You can do 10 minutes here and whatever your mindset is. Doesn't matter nearly as much, or maybe even at all, as compared to their mind, like what's going on in their mind. So, to earn the right to influence, I need to understand what's in your mind, like what's your set of beliefs, what's your constraints, what's your desire, what's even the way you talk to yourself, how do you like to think about yourself, what's important to you. And it's this meeting you where you are, but just in an even richer sense. Right. And when I do that, I earn the right to influence. It happens non-verbally and verbally. So there's been research on how, when sometimes you feel like you click with someone and you just kind of like it's easy and you have this rapport and you're feeling good, you're trusting them. So when people like each other, they tend to get in sync. Like they move more like each other. They speak at the same pace. They even take on the accent a little bit. They're like, if one's kind of nodding their head more, the other one does, right? And if the one's kind of closed off, the other one is. And so that just happens. We've all had that experience. And it goes the other way too, that when we do that a little bit more, we start to feel more connected and just kind of in sync, not copying, but what's happening is, I think a useful way to think about it is this. That it's a way of showing the other person unconsciously, non-verbally, I really am trying to understand your reality and I care about it and I respect it. It's like you're moving more slowly than me. Let me move a little bit more slowly and just see what happens, see if I kind of get it. And then we are able to, we just like, how sometimes you say, like, oh, I feel you, right? You feel the other person a little bit more and you're more in sync and it's easier to. So we've got these nonverbals as well as these verbals, and what you're really trying to do is to like understand what is their world right now, meet them there, and that's how you earn the right to influence. When people feel heard and understood, they are ready to reciprocate.
I like that a lot. Now, most of us are parenting while we're still healing. How do dads recognize patterns that they're unconsciously repeating, like tone, withdrawal, control, conflict style?
So how do you recognize your own patterns, right? Because usually you're like, you're what's the phrase, like the fish in the sea, you don't know. So there's a wonderful set of tools for that that have to do with perspective shifts, and this is something we're capable of that we just don't take advantage of. So you know how it's very easy to get lost thinking about the future, worrying about what will happen, or ruminating on the past, or right? And so often we're thinking about what somebody else might have thought of us. Like we're stepping into other people's minds all the time in our own mind and into the future and into that. In fact, the hard thing is being present, isn't it? Like you have to work. Like that's the hard thing. You have to like meditate and practice to be present because that's not the natural state. So we have these exquisite abilities. I mean, the human mind is just amazing at taking other perspectives. And when we do, we activate our own brains differently. Like you activate different knowledge, you actually, because every time you're having a thought, you're activating your brain a certain way. Every time you're having a feeling, you're activating your brain a certain way. And so those activations, they spread throughout the brain. It's called knowledge activation. So you're activating different knowledge. You actually have access to different ideas when you take a different perspective. It's not just like, oh, what if, what would I think? And so one of the things in NLP that we'll do is to invite people to really step into that other perspective, because we know that you're accessing different knowledge in a much richer way than if you're just like, oh, well, what should I do? What would I think? What would somebody else think? No, I'm going to invite, and I can guide, I can do like a quick guided thing right now. In fact, like if I would invite anyone listening right now to think about some interaction, maybe, where you feel like, man, I'm just living the same old patterns out again. Just the ones that I didn't like. I can't believe I did that. What do you think? Think of something like that. If you're struggling to think of something like that, you can just think about anything that you're ruminating on, just because you'll get the pattern that way. And now what we do is something called going meta, meaning stepping outside, taking a third person perspective. But it's the more the degree to which you do that matters. So if you can speak in the third person, this is research has shown that actually helps you stay in that third person perspective. And I invite you to look over there right now and in your mind see, you know, for you it would be Stacy and that other person from the outside. See her, let her have her feelings. I don't know if she's in another room. Maybe you're looking through the window at her. That may help you have that separation and be that partial, impartial observer. Some people like to imagine they're a fly on the wall, just seeing those people over there. Right? There's many ways to do this, but even looking through somebody else's eyes might even be it if you want. But so that you're able to be this third party impartial observer, and you can just notice what's going on between those people, that parent and that kid, for example, right? From the outside, observe their behavior, maybe what they say, what their back and forth of it, how they react to one another. And now, from this distanced perspective, staying in the third person, why did they do what they do? Why did it go down like it did? And so for you, I'm like, why did Stacy say what she said? Why did Stacy do what she did? Why did the other person respond that way? And why did it go back? And from this distance perspective, when we ask why, we start to make new meaning. And that new meaning lasts. And research it shows that people tend to have a, you know, decreased emotional reaction when they come to a similar context again. They have new meaning. Therefore, once they do, like the switch has been flipped. There's different physiological reactions weeks or months later, right? So the switch has been flipped. You've found the difference that makes the difference in this case, where you don't have to react that way anymore to a similar context. That's just one of many ways of doing it, but you also can actually learn to create a new path of least resistance for that context once you've done that. And these things are accessible to anyone. I mean, you know, you read the chapter on going meta, you do that step, and then you go and read the chapter on install, you know, installing a new behavior, and you do that step. It's like these are things we can all learn to do, actually, but it's like this is pretty much outside of most people's knowledge base to begin with, but it's totally accessible.
I like that. Now, what's
I'm just curious for you, did that were you able, I was talking over it and you're in the context of guiding me, but did you have a chance to do a little of that thinking for a context of your own just now?
Yeah, no, when you were talking about out of the box and you're talking and you're, pointed in that direction, I was actually thinking of some scenarios and kind of putting myself out of the box and thinking about situations where I did that and how it made me feel. And by putting myself out of the box and then really thinking about the situation, I was able to interpret it in a more calmly way. And then I was able to understand the situation. So I was able to react in a positive way that was going to re reinforce positive outcome, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Well, that's great. That's great. So just now, just while we were talking, already did that. Right. And would there be anything wrong with approaching next time you approach a similar situation as you envision yourself right now in your mind doing that? How does that go? Does that work?
Oh, that definitely works. And I actually do that a lot. I've been practicing it for a long time now, and it's helped me in many situations. I just had to put myself out of the box and then reevaluate the situation from outside the box. And then I was able to handle the situation in a more calmly manner, in a more productive manner, and the outcome was actually better. than it would be if,
That's
if I
great.
just reacted on fight or flight.
That's great. And you also touched on something that comes up again and again and again, and for me too, which is I do have the skills within me, I have the resources within me, and I may have even had experiences of using them, and it just didn't occur to me to apply it in this context, right? But of course I can. And it's just like this, it's, for example, I know this stuff about the world in which it makes sense, or meeting them where they are, or going meta. And then I do it myself. I just like, oh, wait a second. Let me do that thing, right? So you don't have to be perfect. I know this stuff, and I don't, and I haven't applied it everywhere. But then I keep getting these chances to apply it, and each time it gets better and better, and this becomes more and more the norm and the experience of the relationship. Yeah.
So true. Now, what's one small daily shift that interrupts a general pattern of the day?
Yeah, it the connection froze for a sec.
Oh,
So
I
I think you
said.
were saying that like doing this interrupts the pattern for the day.
Yeah, so what's one small daily shift that interrupts a general pattern for the day?
Yes, it interrupts the pattern. Yeah, well, I mean, I think you've tapped into something big, which is interrupting the pattern, right? So just interrupting your pattern can be all you need to do, because you have so many resources, but you just weren't accessing them until you interrupted the pattern. So one thing that one way of thinking about, and there's many ways, but one way of thinking about just a little bit of exercise. I know everybody tells you to exercise, right? But you are interrupting the physiological patterns. And even if you're just 10 minutes of getting where you're not even that sweaty, you don't even have to change your clothes, but where you're, if you're breathing heavily and you start to get, your skin starts to get warm and a little bit of perspiration, right? You're going to change the physiology in your body so that you're less likely to get anxious. You're probably releasing endogenous morphines and endogenous anandamides and things like that would feel good too. But there's, you. But the decrease in the anxiety is like a pretty reliable thing. You're more likely to let the small things go. You've interrupted a certain pattern, a physiological pattern. Now, this, your physiological state is very much going to influence the likelihood you get triggered by certain things, because part of the meaning we make out of things is what's the readout of my body feeling, which in many ways is what a lot of us experience as our emotions, or we confuse that with our emotions, or maybe it's a core aspect of the emotions is the feeling state. And so you can actually change that. And this is why breathing can make such a important impact, right? Or but you can also change your thinking with a quick perspective shift. That can be a pattern interrupt for sure, is to step outside. Certainly laughter is often a pattern interrupt, that is just so hard to maintain the negativity when you're laughing, right? It's just so, those are a few.
I love that. Now I'm want to look at I want to look at NLP for a second in a practical, in not just a practical way, but like in an abstract point of view. So instead of let's talk NLP, what's the language shift that immediately changes how a child responses? Like from why did you do that to help me understand what happened?
Oh, yeah. I would say, rather than trying to have specific language, if you shift your mindset, the language will follow. So if you can get into a mindset of actually being curious about, well, how specifically does doing that mean that you're, that I don't care, right? Or something like that. Like, just help me understand that. Be a little bit like, for those of us who are old enough, like Columbo, like, I'm confused about something here. How does that actually connect? And if you're able to have that curiosity and wonder, okay, how specifically, when you say like, you don't get it, right? We're so tempted to try to respond, but how many times do you actually know really what is the it? So what specifically? And then also, it would be so embarrassing, right? Who specifically? According to whom? Right? Often it's one person. Sometimes it's a small number of people. When it becomes this tractable small number of people, you can have a meaningful conversation. Well, have you talked to them? Do you know what they think? How do you know what they think? You know, it's like, is there a way to address that person's concerns?
Yeah.
That's a solvable problem. So this, what's getting super curious, if you can, like, I just got mad, but let me just switch. Wait a second. What do I not understand yet about how specifically, what specifically, and who specifically? And that oftentimes can really just open up the conversation, go in a different direction.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great answer. Now, you wrote a book. Can you tell us a little about your book and what motivated you to write it?
So the difference that makes the difference. So I for many years I've been wanting to create a book that introduces these tools to people. I mean, I first started learning about it 26 years ago, and I've been teaching it for a long time, to, I don't know, 15 years or something. So for many years I've wanted to find a way to have a quick introduction that I really thought made it accessible, easy to understand, and believable, you know, because sometimes people say, well, you know, what's the research? And so that, I think, is important for someone like me, at least, to, like,
Yeah.
say, well, here's the research, actually, and it's all cited and everything. I mean, I want people to be able to go and dig it up and propagate the accurate, you know, answers, and not just say, like, oh,
Yeah.
I heard it somewhere, it was something like this, right? So I have been craving that for many years. And then along came Greg, my co-author, and I was teaching a class at the time, and this was about how to enjoy public speaking, something that this is unusual, right? But I really love it. Like, that's, I'm in my element when I'm doing that, when I'm teaching.
Yeah.
And so what one of my mentors in NLP said to me was like, well, wait a second. You know, there's an opportunity here, because public speaking is this thing people struggle with so much. You
Yeah.
love it. Let's use the tools of NLP to understand your mental model and the mental models of people who love it,
Right.
and teach that. How do you, because there's so much about accessing resourceful states and showing up how you want to show up and being clear on what really matters. And so how do you help people do that? So we created this program. Anyway, so Greg shows up to take it. He's a trial lawyer. He does a lot of public speaking. Someone who just loves taking classes. He's actually great at public speaking already, but he really, you know, he wanted to keep expanding. And, you know, he loved that approach, right? And so he says to me, like, hey, let's start making this stuff accessible for specific audiences, because there's so many people who need it who don't have it. And, like, you know, he just says to me the phrase, like, NLP for lawyers. And just instantly I was like, you are so right. This is the work I want to be doing, right? And then more, he said, well, let's start with a book and become the experts. And I was like, no, let's just start teaching. I want to get into it, right? He's like, no, let's start with a book. So this partnership between a trial lawyer and, you know, a teacher, right? We're not our differences were so useful in terms of, like, what we thought mattered and how to talk about it. But we also both had the same realization about the power here. Anyway, so we end up writing a book that's for everyone, not for lawyers. And then we're both taking it and applying it in different ways. And so, you know, being a dad right now and being all about being a dad, it's just like, this is where I want to apply it, right? But so that's what motivated the book. And then I had been, if you've ever taught, and you know the phrase, like, the best way to learn something is to teach it. Like, the chance to just sit with this and be in this stuff that I had fallen in love with 26 years ago was so amazing. I mean, the responses have been that we succeeded, that people are, you know, that it really does make it accessible.
Right. I love that. Now, can you tell us a little about the services that you provide and and what you have available for people to help them?
Yes. So, I've been mentioning the dad stuff. So let me first start with that, which is joshdavisphd.com/dads. So there are, you know, programs for dads where, you know, we got groups, we got, classes, right? You can do sign up for a free class right now. I think, got one coming up. If you go to the website, you'll see when that is, but I'll do them, you know, I'll do others, but have a look, see if that fits your calendar. Just like an hour, so you get a taste of it and get to be with me, and we can chat. And one of the things that I love to do, and I hope this came across in the conversation, is that as I'm teaching, I'm coaching, right? Whether it's in group or individuals, it's, that's because it's so important to kind of figure out, well, what is working for you and what isn't, and like really trying to enable it to become something that can be for you. So, being part of those classes and those groups for dads. Also, there's a lot of one-on-one coaching. So if there's in particular, guys who it's men usually, but I have certainly worked with women, love working with them. But if 40s, 50s, who have been successful and are wanting to, it's like, how do I keep growing? Right? Really into self-development. A lot of times, if you're a small business owner and a dad, that's like just like the sweet spot. So reach out and let me know if you want to talk. I'd be happy to talk. You can sign up on my website, and I'll send you a free copy of the book, and and we'll chat for 15 minutes. So please do that, and then for other people who are just like, this sounds interesting and I would like to dabble, then come over to the website, so joshdavisphd.com, and click on this AI tool that Greg created, my co-author, where you can talk to the book. So if I'm not available for coaching, you can kind of get some coaching here. You can say like, okay, book, I have this situation. What should I do? Right? It can help you think through, either give you questions to reflect on or ideas to have in mind, or and to be honest, I use it myself, right? And it's awesome. Like I love it. It's just like, oh wow, that was great. This is another thing with this stuff in general. It's like I teach it all the time, and then I'll use it myself. Just yesterday morning, so I got stuck in New York. I was going teaching a retreat, and then the snowstorm, and they booked me on another flight, cancel it, another one, cancel it, right? And then I'm on this flight 2 days later, right? And I'm gonna, have to come home and miss this presentation that one of my kids has been looking forward to doing, and like it's just like all these things. I'm like, okay, I mean, I can live with it, but I'm feeling bad, and I'm feeling like I'm letting people down. My poor wife is like working and taking care of all the kids, so I'm just like, I want to come home and help, and I'm feeling like, okay, I can be at peace with it, but I also would like. So anyway, I do one of the exercises that I teach people. Right, it take about 5 minutes to do it, and I mean, it's just like it was amazing. Like the resources that I was able to tap into for suddenly, not just forgiving myself, but actually coming to these really great solutions for how my son and I can actually maybe even have a better experience with a science project that than had I even been there, where it can be this one-on-one tutorial. And I'm gonna get to, so I'm like, so when we're on the phone, he's like, oh, you're gonna miss it. I was immediately in a space to say, I've been thinking about your science project a lot, right? Here's why I'm thinking we could do. And it just was such a different experience for him and for me than where I was headed 5 minutes earlier, of like, I'm so sorry, I can't believe this happened. I feel terrible. And just reinforcing this whole thing of, yeah, it is a problem, and it is a It did, which didn't have to be that way, you know. So, and I just like, I use the tools myself, and I keep, after 26 years, being astonished at how helpful I find them.
I love it. I love it. Now, Josh, what would you say to the dad who feels like he's already messed up?
It's a lost cause, too late for me. Yeah. No, I get that. I get that. So, first of all, one of the first things that's important to ask at any goal that you have is it in your control? And inherently, when you're talking about another person, your kid, it is not in your control. So, what's very important to do is to step back and say, all right, that doesn't mean you give up. I mean, if you're at peace with that, fine. I don't have an agenda here, right? But is just assuming you're not at peace with that, is to step back and say, what is within my control that's going to move me in that direction? Right? And how will I know I'm moving in that direction? And will the work I have to do cause other problems for me or for
Right.
others around me? Right. And am I going to be trying to do this all the time, or is it just certain times with my kid? Maybe there's aspects of the relationship. And if it was all the time, it actually would be a problem. So you can really start to figure out what precisely, we call this the well-formed outcome, what precisely is it that is within my control, that works for me, that is appropriate, that I can work towards, and that I can measure. And especially start to think about, okay, what's the process? What are the process goals? What do I need to learn along the way? You set that up, then you can really start making progress. Then you're doing the things that enable, because this is not an instant, oh, I messed up and it's too late and let me just like fix it in a second. It is going to take some time, right? And it's not going to be in your control and it's nonlinear and you don't know when. But this is the approach and the attitude that's going to get you there if it's something you want.
This has been amazing, Josh. I thank you so much for coming on the show. I hope you'll be on the show in the future. I think what we talked about today was so valuable. It's valuable for dads, but it's like we talked about earlier, you could apply this to anyone, and this is something that could be change somebody's life. Really the way we react to things and the ability to be able to take a step back and look at the situation from a different point of view and a different angle by putting ourselves outside the box is so important. And not many people know how to do that. They have a very difficult time doing that. So I think the tools that you brought up today and just sharing the information so detailed and how you explained it, I think is going to help many people out there. And I just want to say thank you for coming on the show because this is something that many people need. And I think what you're doing is wonderful.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate having the chance to share this with people.
You're very welcome. You have a great day, Josh.
Thank you. You too.
Borough Talks, the Borough Market Podcast, is back. We've got a brilliant lineup for you this series. We've got Elliot Hastrudi talking all things offal at his amazing restaurant Camille. Brindisi's Monica Linton sharing her thoughts on the evolution of British cuisine. And the founders of Genki talking all things matcha. All of this plus chats about the future of British cheese and the unique flavours of one of Italy's lesser known regions. That's Borough Talks, the Borough Market Podcast. Follow on Spotify today.